One day, when I was about 6 years old, that day I was playing outside with friends, and a lady came up. She spoke to the group of us that we should all come to church, as they were giving out crayons as gifts if you come. So, of course, I followed her. And for some reason, I loved the atmosphere of the church, that I simply decided to go to church. That Sunday, I woke up early, and I was washing my hair. Remember, I was only 6 years old. My mom woke up because she heard water sound and saw me washing my hair. She was like, "Erin, what are you doing?" And I told her, "I'm going to church." And that moment, my mom realized that God had called me to come to Him, since there was nothing she could do because of my dad. And ever since then, I went to church every Sunday. Church was in a walkable place. I even started playing piano for children's service when I was about 9 years old. How did I go to church? I snuck out. We lived in a three-story home at the time. My mom and dad's room was upstairs, and mine was on the first floor. On Sundays, my dad wouldn't come down and would just watch TV in his room all morning. So I went to church quietly and came back and changed to my pajamas again, and went upstairs to see Dad, acting like I had just woken up. I did that for about 5 years. During that time, my dad's persecution to my mom only grew severely. There were many, many nights that mom and I had to evacuate to local inns or motels because he was too drunk and would hurt my mom by throwing rocks or things at her. Sometimes she'd get hit and bleed. There were many scary nights. While he was such a kind man when he wasn't drunk, he was completely controlled by Satan when he was drunk. One night in May, when I was 11, I had just started sixth grade. It was one of those nights that was just huge chaos with my dad, and I had to hide myself at a friend's house all night. I came back home in the morning, and my dad had passed away that night, suddenly. I didn't know how to react to that. I was sad. I loved my dad. He loved me so much. But I couldn't deny the feeling of relief, to be honest. Maybe because I felt such pity to my mom that maybe I thought it was a way of breathing again and live a normal life. So a new chapter of life began, but it was a tough start at the beginning. My mom and I were abandoned by my father's side's family because they were mad at my mom for not protecting my dad. We struggled to even find a place to live in at first. That year is also the year that I truly accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was 11, and I was a girl without a dad. I went to the first youth retreat that summer, and God touched my heart and told me that He will be my dad, that He will protect me and provide for me. I was not without a dad anymore. I had a dad who was the most powerful and most wonderful in the whole universe. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And from then on, I decided to just leave my life to God completely and lean on Him. I also prayed to God that time that I want to play the piano for Him and His glory for the rest of my life. And guess what? It's been almost 28 years after that prayer, and I'm still playing. I have never stopped playing for God all this time. Wherever I went, He had places for me to play for Him, and I never had a burnout when it came to playing for God. He blessed me with such joy and peace when I get to play for Him any given day. Back to story, My mom was completely free to go to church anytime that she even studied theology and became a church minister. I went to church every single day, praying for every single services, totaling 11 services held each week. That's how I became a main pianist for adult service and choir when I was 12 years old. I was pretty much living at the church all the time playing piano for God, and I couldn't be happier. During my middle school and high school years, just with my mom and I, we still talk to each other today that those 6 years of our time in Korea was heavenly time for us. I kept playing for church, but I didn't know I was going to major in piano. I never took serious piano lessons until I went to high school. When I first met my music teacher as a freshman in high school, he told me that I should major in piano. So that's when I started thinking about what I really should do with my life and started taking lessons. Around the same time, I went to a concert with a friend and saw a poster that said, Ambassador Singers traveling America for 3 weeks and perform every day at churches. I don't know why, but I remember I got super excited when I saw that. I was like, oh, I really want to do this. And a few weeks later, I was in the Ambassador's choir group as a pianist. This was my first time visiting America. We traveled from San Francisco all the way down to Texas. Every day involved lots of driving. We'd stop at a church to perform, and the group was split into small groups to homestay. And I met lots of loving people just like you guys during that time, which gave me an impression that America was such a beautiful country. During the tour, we stopped at a university called East Texas Baptist University. We performed our usual performance, and the host of our group had arranged a little pre-audition for me for piano professor there, seeking any feedbacks for me. And the professor there, after hearing me, said, Aaron, you have lots of talent. You should come back to our school to study when you graduate high school in 2 years. Well, there my dream was. I was going to totally major in piano, and I was going to come back to East Texas Baptist University to study in America. I turned into a girl with full of American dream after the ambassador trip, that all I could think about was going back to America and study. So I prayed every single day, God, please let me go to America. I want to study there. Help me. My mom, as a church minister, she was only making about $700 a month. My piano teacher during my high school years kindly gave me a huge discount because we couldn't afford normal lesson fees. There was completely no way for my mom to support me studying abroad. We didn't have any savings, assets, nothing. Everyone we sought information told us that it was impossible for me to go to America and get education. In order to go to America, I had to obtain a student visa first, and even getting the visa seemed impossible for me because simply I was not qualified financially. So all I could do was praying and crying. During my senior years in high school, I learned that East Texas Baptist University did not have an ESL program, which is an English as a second language program for foreign students. So they told me to enroll Kilgore College next town, which had the ESL program. And once I studied English there first, told me to transfer. So I requested student visa for ESL program for one semester, since tuition was cheaper in Kilgore College and my mom could support one semester worth of tuition. So I went to the embassy to request student visa to America. I wanted to know, it was a ridiculous idea that I went to embassy. I barely had a financial support letter. I wasn't even accepted at a four-year college. And requesting a student visa to America was a total nonsense. On top of that, it was only 2 years after September 11th had happened. So getting visa was extremely difficult and stricter than ever. But I had been praying all 3 years of my high school. I had faith in God. I just had to try it. And I was at the embassy interviewing with one of the consular officers. He looked at my documents and went, Well, your finance and documents are really lacking. But he seemed like concerned and thinking. Then he went to the back of the office and started discussing with other officers, which was really rare and odd behavior at the embassy, because it's simply yes or no answer right up front. I had my eyes closed and kept praying at the interview door. And then when he came back, he said, "Well, like I said, your whole document is lacking, but you seem like a very prospective student, and I have a feeling I just have to grant you a visa. Go and study hard." And he stamped my student visa to America. Isn't that a true work of God? Praise God. I was jumping out of joy and cried, and I said bye to my mom and went on to fly to America a few weeks later, all by myself, super excited. But I had to hold on to the Bible verse from Psalm 37. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." I landed in Kilgore, Texas, and within a week, through an international student advisor, I was introduced to a piano professor there at Kilgore College. Remember, I came to Kilgore to study English for one semester, right? I didn't even know they had a piano program. The professor there called me directly and said, "Can you come play for me?" So I went to her office and played Beethoven and Chopin because I was studying to be a piano major, so I had the classical materials to play. After hearing me, she said, "Aaron, you know you can study here for 2 years and get associate's degree and transfer to any four-year university, right?" I was like, "Really? What does that even mean?" She said, "We'll give you a full scholarship to study here, and you can apply any university you want after 2 years." I couldn't believe it. I came to States with one semester worth of tuition. Didn't have any other plans. I was busy getting my feet into the States, at least. But God had a plan for me, a perfect plan. I studied there for 2 years on a full scholarship, performed 3 concertos with East Texas Symphony Orchestra, learned a lot of English, too, and graduated with the most outstanding student honor. God made sure I also stayed humble and get richer experiences in life besides being a student. During that 2 years, I worked as a waitress every day after school so I could also make my own living. After 2 years, I went to Texas A&M University Commerce on a full scholarship again, met my forever piano mentor there that I stayed for graduate school, became a teaching assistant, which again covered my tuition. I taught lessons, served as a church accompanist, and met many friends and family who dearly encouraged and loved me and treated me like a family. My education went on, and I went to the University of Arizona with teaching assistantship. During my whole studies in America, I was on a full scholarship and stipend, and I could maintain little side jobs to make a living that I never had to ask my mom for financial support since I left Korea. My mom couldn't help me, but God knew. He provided me perfectly with every bit of what I needed, just as He promised, as in Matthew chapter 6. During my last year as a master's student, while getting ready for doctoral school, God gave me a huge dream and certainty that I should try out for one of the top schools in America, Eastman School of Music in New York. So I ended up postponing a year from graduation to prepare to earn live audition at Eastman, which I did. And there were few other schools I auditioned. After the whole audition round was over, I was praying and waiting for results from the schools. I had gotten really great package from Texas Tech and an okay package from the University of Arizona. But those were kind of like backups. My whole heart was at Eastman. You know, I spent whole extra year to prepare for Eastman. But strangely, as I was praying for result, it felt like God was telling me to go to Arizona. I was like, what? No way, God. You gave me a dream for Eastman, so I worked another year to prepare for that school's audition. Why are you telling me this now? Why Arizona? But that voice of God only seemed to grow stronger as I prayed each day. That eventually I was like, fine, I guess I'll go to Arizona. But God, you know, my tuition with grad assistantship, you know, Arizona didn't give me a full package like Texas Tech did. They're only going to cover my tuition with my grad assistantship. You're going to do something about my living, right? And meanwhile, I did not get accepted at Eastman. And thankfully, I was not sad. God had already prepared my heart where to go. Proverbs 16, chapter 16, verse 9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Well, guess what? I went to Arizona in August of 2011, met someone kind of right away, and got married in 5 months. God had prepared a spouse for me. The Lord really established my steps there. That's why he told me that it wasn't important for me to go to New York. I had to go to Arizona to meet my husband. God can be so funny sometimes, right? And you know what? A side story from my husband, at the same time, he was desperately seeking to go to different school for his doctorate because he had already done both undergrad and master's at the University of Arizona. So he studied really hard to get a great GRE score to apply to other schools like Georgia Tech or UC San Diego. And he had the scores for those schools' admission and applied, but never got callbacks from any of those schools. Well, his great GRE scores never made it to school's admission. It is truly still a mystery how the scores never made to any of the schools he applied, since the scores were sent through computer systems right after he took the exam. So he had no choice but staying at the University of Arizona again for his doctorate. But because he stayed, he met me. Remember, I complained to God how Arizona didn't give me a full package and he had to do something about my leaving. Well, he gave me a husband, a true package that will complete my life as a whole. God is so wonderful and works in wondrous ways. We were both students, but we knew that with our faith in God, love for each other, and hard work ethics, we would be all right. And we have been married 13 years, blessed with two beautiful girls, and we're still learning every day and witnessing God's miraculous works throughout our lives together. Today, I only talked about my childhood and how I came to America and about my life during my studies, how God has led me, helped me, and provided me. Past 13 years after my marriage is another different chapter of my life, a time of maturing and growing in a whole another way through many new challenges. And every time I remember this Bible verse from Job chapter 23, verse 10, says, but he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I'll come forth as gold. And there are, of course, many testimonies I could talk about, just like all of us, with different stories of what God has done. But what I really want to confess is that I could never ever live my life without the grace of God. I wouldn't be who I am and I wouldn't be where I am without the grace of God. God truly has been the source of my strength, courage, wisdom, patience, overcoming hardships, you name it. Even today, every day, I ask God to help me, guide me, that I continue to live for the glory of Him, and that I can have the peace that the world can't give, but only God can give. So I may go out with courage and strength, that I can continue to be the light and salt of the world, and that I can spread the fragrance of Christ through who I am. I am weak and a sinner, but I have been saved and cleaned through the blood of Christ, so I can be new every day. And I have the gift of eternal life. And as I live my life until the end, I pray God sees me, as in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 states, The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I told part of my life story, but I hope you'd remember that it wasn't about Aaron, but it was about God. I am mighty grateful that I got to talk about my God who loves me so much and led my life completely when I laid my life to him. And I hope you do the same. God loves me and you, and he loves everyone. And I know he will continue to take care of me just like he had been the whole past, and he will take care of you. I want to end my story with one of my favorite Bible verses from Jeremiah chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And did you know that it comes with a condition after this wonderful verse? Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I pray that we seek God with all of our hearts and find him wherever we are and every day of our lives, so that God will rejoice over us with singing. Thank you.